The praise of his glory. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 is our text this morning. It's the second Sunday of Christmas. And during this season, we focus on who Jesus is. We focus on his purpose in the world. We do that really every Sunday and as we go through our lives. But there's a special way that we do that often during this season, right, as we follow after Christmas here. In our gospel reading, we heard about Jesus as he was 12 years old, going to Jerusalem, being in the temple, being in his father's house, being about his father's business, and doing the things that were part of God's plan. In our sermon text here coming up in Ephesians, this is the very beginning of this book, a letter written to the church in Ephesus, and it's a doxology, a praise of God, praising God for who he is. This praise that we have opens the letter to Ephesians to people that are known very well by Paul. And as he writes to them, these people that are very near and dear to him, he writes praising God for what God has done. And as we look at this, I might just point out before I read it, a little bit about the structure, that it is all about praising God and how that praise is related to us and how we see God related to us. We also see in this the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we find these different things stated about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these things are marked off, these sections are marked off by a phrase, the praise of His glory. The praise of his glory marks the transition from one person of the Trinity to the next. Each one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, describing, as Paul describes their work in different ways, a different aspect of the work of God for each one, though all of them, all three persons of the Trinity, are of course involved in all of the acts of God. And so the praise is for the triune God. We hear that in our text today. Our text is from Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, reading in Jesus' name. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Father, we thank you for this word of praise that Paul has given to us, that you have guided him in, praising you. And so we do praise you alongside him and declare your glory. And we ask as we consider these words and your praise that you would draw us closer to you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to invite any of the kids that want to come to the front to come up to the front here. All right. Come on. There's more spots over here. All right. A few more coming up. Anybody else? All right. We're getting up. Come on up. You can find a spot over here. Okay, I want to ask you a question to see if you have been paying attention in Sunday school. Not just recently, but any time. And you want to come over here? Yeah, just sit right here. Okay, you got the spot. Can you tell me, what are some things that you have learned about God? Is there anything that you have learned about God? What have you learned about God?
That God died.
God died. Yeah, Jesus died, right? And came back to life. Yeah. Why did he do that? You know? So he could save the world, right? That's a great thing to say that he has done, right? What do you, is something you learned about God? What is it? Oh, Jesus was a baby in Bethlehem. Yeah, that's right. Something you learned about God? Okay, so God can give us strength and power, and sometimes he chooses not to, right? Yeah, he does that. Can he take care of us with his power? Yeah, he can, can't he? What else? Anything else that you learn about God? Yeah. So he has, at different times, he's sent dreams and messages to show that he is God. And usually the people that he shows that to, they tell others, right? Yeah. Yeah. Even though we can't see him, can we? He's kind of everywhere. We think about him up in the sky sometimes, don't we? But he's everywhere. He's in our hearts. Yeah. We can say lots of other good things. We can say that God is love. God cares for us. A lot of good things. What does it mean to praise God, do you think? You have an idea now? It's like, raise your hand and then we'll have a consultation here and see if we come up with an idea. That's okay. If you get one, that's fine. What does it mean to praise? Do you know what it means to praise God? Do you know what it means? No? Okay, so God, yeah, there's some ways that God controls us or guides us, yeah. When we talk about praising God, we're talking about all the good things that we can say about God. Are there a lot of good things that we can say about God? There are a lot of good things that we can say about God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we can't see him, but he is in our hearts, right? We know he's in our hearts. Yeah. Well, today here I have, this is a symbol that can show, it's kind of like a triangular shape there. It's interlocked. That kind of a symbol for the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's something for you today. It's not Trinity Sunday, but that's okay. We'll use it again then. But we're hearing about that. Let's see. Could you hand out some of those for me? And hey, hold on a second. All right, you could hand out a few. Let's see. For a while, I'll let you hand some of those. Do you want to hand some of those out? All right, thanks for coming up, guys. You can take those. Okay, maybe next time. Oh, great. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Okay, thanks for coming up, guys. You can each get one of those. All right. Well, hopefully there should be one around there somewhere. Let's see. How many did I print? How many were there here? I think we have enough for everybody. All right. There we go. Never know exactly how many we need to print here. Anyway. Last week sometime, I was outside in front of our house with a snow shovel. Maybe some of you were outside in front of your house with a snow shovel at some time recently as well. The job there with a couple of our boys, I think Zeke and Theo were out with me at the time, was the driveway was clear, but you know, there's that section in front of the street, you know, on the street in front of the mailbox. There's, you know, we got the garbage cans that go out there. I like to keep that clear up to the curb so that we can have a good space there and everything. So we went out to clear that after everything else was cleared. And as I was working along, I noticed a section still ahead of me that I wanted to get done. And it was taking a while here. We were getting the work along, and I thought, oh, we still got a fair bit of work here. But then I turned around and I noticed, actually, I had gotten farther in the work than I thought I had, and Zeke and Theo had been pretty productive, and we actually had almost the whole job done, even though what was left in front of me was a fair bit, but it really only was going to take a minute or two to finish. And I realized it's a matter of perspective, right? As I was looking forward here, I saw, man, I got all this snow to lift up over the snowbank onto the boulevard. But I looked back and I realized, wow, we actually got most of it done already. The change in perspective was significant. As we think about our perspective of salvation and what God does for us, sometimes it's easy to look at it from our own perspective and think that it's about us. And we think about what God has done for us in our terms, and it can be helpful sometimes to realize that what God does for us, as we hear in this text here, is really for the praise of His glory. It's really, even what He does for us, is really about Him and about who He is and His goodness and all of the other different good attributes that we can say about Him, the things that we can say about Him. And so it's good to have something like this that's praising God for what He's doing and for who He is that can help give us that perspective, turn us around a little bit and see things from God's perspective of what He does for us and for the world. We first begin here praising God the Father. We begin with the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, centering around what Jesus does for us. He has blessed us. And think about the language that Paul uses here. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's probably good to be reminded of that from time to time. As we go day by day through our lives, it might be easy to forget that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly realms. He has given us eternal life. That is ours. We can remember that. He has given us, what else? What other things has He given us? He has given us joy. He has given us peace. Maybe it would be helpful for us to take time from time to time to stop and simply think about and contemplate, what are the different things that God has given us? What are the different blessings that God has given us because of who He is? We have then here some words from Paul that might cause us to pause a little bit. He talks about God choosing us, about God having predestined us. And this, I think, is where perspective is helpful in understanding what it's saying here. What is the significance of Paul's way of describing this? We might, as we come across these words, have the question, what is predestination? What does it mean that God has predestined us, that He has chosen us? How does that relate to free will and us responding to God? What is the interaction here? How does that relate to faith and trusting in Him? How does all of this work? I think it can be helpful for us in thinking about this if we realize that the focus again here is on God and what it tells us about Him. He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world. We're talking about God the Father, and often when we think of the creation, we think about God the Father, we think about God's relationship to time and creation. As we think about being chosen, being predestined, we might think about going beforehand. But God is eternal. He created time. Time is not something that He goes through like we do. God is before and after. What is before? What is after for Him? Is there any time in all of creation where God is not present? Right there. As we come to Him and as He works in our lives, we can think about it before, we can think about after, but for God it is all now. Is there anything outside of His control? Is there anything outside of it? God is in charge. God is in control. God is all powerful. He is everywhere, in every time. So as we think about these things, we're simply thinking about God being present and active in every time that exists. And so He chooses us. And then who is us, we might ask, as Paul is writing that? Well, first, Paul and the Ephesian Christians then that he's writing to, but then by extension, it's true of all Christians everywhere, those who trust in God. We might ask the question, because sometimes it might bother us a little bit to hear these words, chosen, predestined, things like that. And we might wonder, what does it mean for somebody to be predestined and chosen? Does that mean others are not? That God has rejected them? What does that mean? But I think here, that can cause us to question and things like that. And it's good to investigate. But these are words that are meant to reassure us. If we are trusting in Him, we are chosen. Other religions leave things in doubt. Will I be in heaven? Will I not? Is there something better after this life? Is there not? What happens to these things? But as Paul talks about God choosing us, we realize there is nothing left in doubt. If we are trusting in Christ, we are His. And so we could focus on the possibility of not being chosen, but it's much better to praise God for choosing us. And making that sure, this is so sure, so we can be so confident in the salvation that God gives, that He says it is from before creation. Nothing can change it. Nothing can take it away. And He focuses then on our relationship to God. In this choosing, He makes us holy and blameless in His sight, in love. Some translations put "in love" with the next sentence. In love, He predestined us. But it can also, and maybe better, go with this previous sentence. Being holy and blameless in His sight, in love. It's not a matter of God strictly just making us holy and blameless. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make you like this. It's a loving relationship. That's the focus of this whole relationship. And He says we're predestined to adoption, to sonship. Children adopted into His family. We have the picture of a family. And it says in accordance with His pleasure and goodwill. God enjoys blessing us in doing this. If we are predestined, not begrudgingly, well, I guess I've got to choose some, you know, God didn't do that, did He? Or with a simple command saying, I'm choosing, whatever. But if instead of that, it's being predestined and chosen with love, with God's good pleasure, we recognize the joy that comes from that. We recognize family. We enjoy being with our families on this earth, maybe not all the time. But the good parts of family, we recognize what good family is, right? And being part of God's family is great. And imagine the best qualities. Maybe you have some very good qualities that you have noticed in your parents, in your father, in a parent that you know. Maybe there are others that we see depicted on TV and movies and stories, and we say that is what it means to be a good father. And we all of those best ones and even better we have in God. And so we praise Him, the praise of His glory, not just reading off a list of attributes, God is love, God is, you know, hope and peace and these things, but joyfully telling the things that are true of God to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. And so Paul moves on to talk then about Jesus. In Him, in the one He loves, the Father loves, we have redemption through His blood. We have forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace lavished on us. We have here the second person of the Trinity. We have the Son who has redeemed us and bought us back. We have been taken captive by sin, by this world, by the lies of the devil. But we have been freed by Christ. I heard about, I don't know many details of it, but one of the teachers at one of the schools in Chad had to go arrange things because his brother had been kidnapped by an extremist organization. And his family was gathering money together. They have been. I don't know how it's going. This is very recent. Gathering money together, money that they it will be hard to come by, to pay for his freedom. We have been redeemed. Our freedom has been paid for, not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, and with his perfect obedience of the law for us. And then we think about that and we realize this is lavished on us. What does it mean to be lavished? What does lavished mean? I have good ideas of what that means, but when do we use that in regular language? You know, our family, we recite a verse, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. But what does that mean? I am imagining opening Christmas presents, and you open one, and then the next one is even bigger. And the first one was great, and then there's another one, even bigger, never ending, more and more and more. You know, maybe as you think of a child opening a Christmas present, a small toy, and they're excited about it. Oh, this is a great present. It's just a little car or something to drive around. It's just what I wanted. Then there's a game that's bigger than that. Then, oh, what? There's a surprise. You have a pet, too. Oh, and then there's a large house because we need it to keep the pet in, and maybe a pony and whatever else we have. And this is being lavished on you, right? And then an enormous property, and then the whole world, you know? Give us the whole thing. Being lavished on us. What other ways is this described to us? According to his good pleasure, we find that again. He has made known to us the mystery. Everything is under Christ. All is in his control. Everything is correct. Here we find then again, he chose and predestined us according to his plan. He's worked out everything according to his will. Everything for those who believe. For the praise of his glory. We can think about all the good that it means for us. That's great. And it's appropriate then to recognize this just shows us all that is good about God. Chosen and predestined from beforehand, redeemed now through Christ when we are made his for the praise of his glory. And then we go to the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We think about the past, the creation of the world. We think about being redeemed, and then we think about the future and what God has for us. We look at continuing in the relationship that God has given us. And this is applied to each one. They're included in Christ when we heard the message of the truth, the gospel of salvation, marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing inheritance until the redemption is fulfilled. This is for those who are God's possession. He talks about us belonging to God. We have, again, the idea of relationship, belonging to him as his family. Our rebellious nature wants to control ourselves. We want to belong to ourselves. But it's so much better to belong to God than to belong to ourselves. And we recognize that this is a deposit, that the full measure will be given in eternity. Do you have joy in your life? Is it happy? Are you happy to be with people, to experience life? It will all be much better later on. Do you have peace with God and with others? At times, we feel it. Sometimes it's a struggle. But do we find in our lives forgiveness and healing? Whatever sense of peace we might have in this life, we recognize that perfect peace we will have in eternity. Do we enjoy love in this life? Time with family? All of that will be even better in eternity, all because of what God does, to the praise of his glory. Much of our lives as we live them on this earth can seem about us, and our culture certainly encourages us to think about it that way. The devil certainly encourages us to think about it that way, and our sinful natures, they really want us to think about it that way, that it revolves around us. And God really does give to us a lot, but not because of us and who we are, but because of him and because of who he is. We have all that God does and gives to us because of who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how He works in this world, planned before creation, accomplished in Jesus, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. For all of this, and for everything else good that we might find in life, we praise Him, the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for sending Jesus into the world. And we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee and a promise of the good things to come in eternal life. Thank You that we have all of these things from You. And I ask that in our lives, we would praise You in everything that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.